Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. In last week's podcast, I talked about vectors having to pay the ultimate price for our assigning them that definition, that price being death. Some would even say complete species destruction, if at all possible. This week, I'm going to talk about the exact opposite, to put the entire burden on the animal to meet our needs. I'm sure you've all seen pictures of those poor little donkeys in underdeveloped areas who are carrying loads that seem just impossibly huge and heavy for that little animal to carry. We can't imagine, it strikes us as being so inhumane. And yet, perhaps of all the species out there, no animal is being burdened by our requirements as much as the little honeybee. In many parts of the developed world, large-scale agriculture as we know it is dependent on pollinators, with honeybees being the most common. This is particularly true in the United States. Over the years, we've made increasing demands on those bees. For example, in the wild or in small hives, honeybees are free to get their pollen from multiple sources. As they make their rounds throughout the spring and the summer, they visit a wide variety of plants. This is comparable to us eating a balanced diet. And they stay in one place. This doesn't mean that they might not travel a large distance in their home area. But compare this to what happens to the commercial hives, which are trucked sometimes as much as 1,000 miles from one source of pollen to another. Monoculture. They pollinate all the same species of plants for a period of time, and then they move on and they collect pollen from perhaps the same or maybe another species. But it's always the same. And they have the stress of transport. Thousands and thousands of honeybees being trucked to fulfill our needs. Most of you have probably heard about colony collapse. The whole colony dies. There's been a lot of speculation about what's causing it. Some have said the problem is mites. Others have pointed to climate change. Others have pointed to stress, diet. And the correct answer is probably all of the above, plus probably a lot more that we've never thought about. But in the case of the honeybee, the bulk of the emphasis is to change the honeybee so that it fulfills a want list of the supplier. They want a super bee. They want a bee that can withstand all this. They want a bee that not only has the wherewithal to stand up to assaults from the micro and the macro environment, but along with this, they want the honeybee to be docile. I found this ludicrous. On the one hand, they want this animal to physiologically, aggressively respond and overcome changes in diet, changes in the environment, the stress of travel, the stress of assault from without and within, and still treat them nice. They don't want to be stung. That's quite a wish list, isn't it? And there are scientists who think that they can genetically alter the honeybee to fulfill those human criteria. When I read about this approach to the problem, I feel like an alien. I don't understand the logic. This idea of creating an artificial bee, is it any wonder that there is a group of scientists who are working on a pollinating drone? So we can eliminate the bees altogether. And in some ways, I think, that wouldn't be a bad thing. Would I want a bunch of little drones pollinating my flower gardens? Would I want a group of drones swooping down on my dreaded American bamboo to feast on its blossoms? No, I wouldn't want that. I like my honeybees. I like all of my insect pollinators. I love seeing them bouncing around in the flowers. I love hearing them. I have a friend of mine who sometimes says, it's all too much. And sometimes it is. It's all too much. But then I stop and I remind myself, these animals have been around a lot longer than we have. Maybe they won't all survive. And maybe the ones who do survive are going to be bees that aren't very nice. And bees who complicate our lives a heck of a lot more than they benefit us. But they will survive. The question is, how many times do we have to make the same mistake until we stop thinking strictly about ourselves and start thinking about the rest of the planet?
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.